Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to Your Intention Matters, the podcast. My name is Still Palmadot. Thanks very much for joining me today. On this episode, I have Ophir Zen. He is EMEA's sales director coming to us from a company called Sisense in the beautiful city of Tel Aviv, Israel. It must be freezing there right now, Ophir.
Just like that, freezing. It's exactly the opposite. It's always summer here. But yeah,
I think you said to me before I hit record, it was about 300 days of golfing weather.
Yeah, that's an indication of how hot it is here.
Yeah. Definitely. Well, listen, good to meet you. Thanks so much for freeing up the time. Say hi to everybody and provide a quick intro.
Yeah, sounds good. Happy to be here. So hi, everyone. My name is Ophir Zen. As Paul said, I'm based in Tel Aviv, Israel, director for the EMEA region. It's a company called Sisense. We are a BI and embedded analytics company heading IPO. My background is actually engineering. So I started as a software developer in the defense industry here in Israel, then co-founded two tech companies in Tel Aviv. And about a few years ago, I decided to pivot my career and move to the more strategic partnership part of the business, also known as professional sales. Started as an account executive initially, doing outbound. Later on, I was promoted to be a manager for a team of account executives. And since the beginning of 2020, director for the region. So happy to be here.
All right. Well, I'm thrilled for you to be here as well. And so thanks for taking the time here. Let's get into your story here. As you know, Ophir, the title of the podcast is called Your Intention Matters. And that really is the result that you'll tend to get. And nothing is really given to you. And everything starts with mindset and intention. And so I'm looking forward to you sharing your story. You ready to go here?
Sure, let's go.
All right, let's go back a few years to your school days, ORT Broad College. You're going down a path of mathematics, computer science, engineering, 2012 or so. Do you remember what you thought you'd be doing, you know, with your life? Did you have a vision at the time? Were you unclear? What was it like when you were getting ready to, you know, kind of get out there?
Yeah, definitely. So just starting by saying I'm a very process-driven person. In terms of goals and vision, there's always something there. And this is how I started with engineering, math. I like numbers, computer science. I find it very entertaining, challenging, and fun. And exactly like the process defined, when after 1 year into college, I started to work at a company called Rafael Advanced Defense System. It's actually the foremost defense industry here in Israel. And you know, my first 3 years were as a developer. That's how I started, and the path was clear. Let's continue and progress and learn more and become a better engineer. But then entrepreneurship comes into play. And I'm happy to speak about that chapter in life.
Yeah. So where does that come from? Do you have, does your family come from entrepreneurs? Do you have that in your bloodline, so to speak?
No, to be honest, actually one of my lecturers, a lecturer I had back then, he had a few ideas in mind and he threw that back at me, you know, just throwing some ideas. And I started to think, okay, maybe we can do something with our free time after work. And we started to do some coding at the basement, basically starting, we didn't know back then, but starting our first company. It was a company in the domain of big data. We thought how we can provide value to the world by analyzing large data sets from the internet and then visualizing it to people in order to provide some sort of competitive analysis, I would say. Like if you want to find similar businesses or similar websites that are selling or doing stuff similar to what you do, and that was our first startup. And when you start with it, it's so addicted that you can literally can't stop.
So, you know, I'd love to dive into your mindset around the decision to move on from Rafael, because how long were you there?
Almost 7 years.
That's a long time with one organization. pretty much in your wheelhouse as well around engineering and developing and researching. So you're kind of going down that path you thought you'd be going. Was that an easy choice to move on? Was it a hard choice? Was it a long process? What was that like before you finally decided to make the move?
That's a great question. It was super difficult due to several reasons. Life in Rafael was good because I even had one day actually to do, you know, out of the regular day-to-day stuff projects. Basically, we get an arrangement where I can do some entrepreneurship one day a week to work on stuff I develop or to bring new ideas and then develop them while I'm still working in Rafael. It's a very stable and decent job here in Israel. But when you're an entrepreneur, you are an entrepreneur and nothing can stop it. You don't do it for the money. You do it for the passion. You do it because you want to solve things, problem solving, and the challenge is calling you. So it definitely was a tough decision to make, but for me, it was a no-brainer. Although I had good everything in Rafael, I decided to move. It was around 2016. Started my first company, and basically one of the best decisions I've ever had because the lessons I got from those two companies is invaluable.
And so for the first company that you started, what industry was it in, and what was the name of your company?
Big Data, the company called TataView, and it was, we've made many mistakes there. Basically, by thinking that we can do everything ourselves, you know, right. To entrepreneurs for the first time, writing code from the basement, launching a product. It was more focused on B2C rather than B2B. We thought we can get mass adoption by not investing into marketing and other stuff we should invest money into. But we were fully committed. I can say that I put everything I had into those startups, time, attention, money, and so forth.
How long did you really pursue the entrepreneurial side of your career? How long did you do that for?
I would say 5 years, but it never ends. I'm still an entrepreneur by heart, but it was 5 years journey of two companies. The second company obviously was more mature and everything was better. I mean, the team was stronger. We had funding. We've been supported by angel investors. The technology was solid. The go-to-market and strategy plan was smarter, and we learned. But timing was, as I don't know if familiar with startups, timing is everything. We came too early to a market that hasn't emerged. It was an emerging market, but not big enough to make monetization. So as the CEO of the company, by the way, that was the phase where I moved from product, hands-on software development, to more CEO and management. So I experienced some partnership, angel investors, early days of sales, and so forth.
You know, that must have been a difficult realization that we've got a great thing here, but we're just maybe a little ahead of our time. Was that a long process for you to really understand that and then make the decision to shut things down, or did it happen pretty quickly?
Everything is happening fast in startup. You need to, you know, fail fast, pivot first, pivot faster. So I had a strong team and the board, and we were very transparent with everything that was going on. And also you need to be agile and open to get feedback so that you're not falling in love in your idea. It's very easy to completely ignore the reality and just think about the idea and everything needs what I'm developing. But yeah, it was quick. The total journey of the second venture was less than 2 years. We were working around the clock 24/7. It was quick to realize that we are not on the right path and it's not the right time. We tried to pivot, by the way, we had the support of our investors to pivot the company and go in another direction, but we couldn't find something that can be justified from a business perspective.
And so how early do you think you were?
We have evidence today. Still, yeah, the domain was virtual reality and augmented reality. We've developed a VR search engine for the virtual space, meaning that you can search content, 3D content, such as 360 videos, 360 photos, 3D models, and, you know, even 3D environments, I will say, over the web. after you have your headset on your head by using your voice and a controller. So it was like a search engine, visual search engine inside the 3D space. And this domain is still, you know, there are very specific verticals that are thriving there, such as gaming, of course. But we thought it will become more for the mass. Why you can go travel in places and online education. Maybe now it becomes more relevant when online education is 100% remote.
Right.
And you need to have engaging experiences. So we started that in 2017. It was early back then. Not enough users and the ability to monetize.
So is that something that is still maybe in your future? You think that given that you are still ahead of the time and it's still not the right time, it sounds like you haven't missed your window. Maybe that you just need to bide your time. Is that something you think you might jump back into at some point down the road? Possibly?
That's an interesting question. Never thought about that. Definitely the cloud and everything related to core technology. And this is part of core technology because we've developed software and algorithms there. But not specifically VR, I guess.
Okay.
I tapped out of it, but definitely core tech, cloud, and computing.
So were you out of work at any time once you decided to close down the business and then between your next venture, or was it a pretty seamless transition?
So even when closing a company, you need to do it right. You know, you need to find the right time to make sure you have enough cash flow. So you ended up with being okay with everyone, with your board, with your investors, with your employees first, and with the authorities as well. So it was a pretty quick, once we decided, it took us about 3 months to close the company. Again, as someone who invested a lot back then, I remember I had a baby, I have two kids today. I had a baby back then with 1 year old and my wife was pregnant 4 months in.
Oh man.
So yeah, even in life, I mean, the investment and how much you put into that was tremendous. So it was important to do it at the right time, with the right phase. You know, when you're an entrepreneur, usually you don't take salary in early days.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a great experience.
So you make the decision to move on. You have a lot of factors going on, to your point, you know, cash flow, your employees, your investors, you have your family, you're a father, you're expecting again, a lot's going on, a lot of balls to handle mentally, right? In your head up there. So
sure.
Where did you go?
So
like what
the
was
most
next?
Natural? Yeah, exactly. The most natural place for me was to go back to, I would say, the interaction between development and people, something around product management. And that's where I started. So I started to look for some opportunity. Actually, of course, I got offers to stay in the entrepreneurial space, being a manager here or product director there, but still in small early stage startups. But I decided to have a little bit more stability at that phase, and also understanding that I need to learn more before jumping into another journey and opportunity.
Yeah.
I'm a huge believer of always be learning, always be improving. There are some stuff you don't know. And especially if you want to lead a company in the future, this area that called sales is super important. So I experienced that myself. I started to do some interviews for product management. And here's the funny part. And then maybe one of the best tips I've ever got. A lady, she's a talent acquisition manager in one of the most successful companies here in Tel Aviv. Actually now post IPO, the company called Lemonade. So she told me something like, Ophir, you can do product management here. You can definitely start as a product manager, but you're not product. And I was like, what? She said, no, you're 100% sales. Head to tone, 100% global sales, and you should go to sales. And I was like, what? What are you talking about? Let's speak about the role. It took me 1 week to think about it, like to think over. And I started as a sales director. 1 week in a cybersecurity company.
And that, how was that transition for you? Was it hard? Was it good?
Again, seriously, one of the best decisions. I love what I'm doing. I love the interaction between people, technology, and money.
Yeah.
And, you know, selling technology, solving business problems to the organization we work with. It's amazing for me. The first company wasn't the best fit, but then I got to, luckily, I got to coming to Sisense, and the rest is history.
And when with Sisense, did they seek you out? Did you raise your hand? How did that happen from the transition from the one company you were, and where were you before Sisense?
So yeah, I've had a short time in a company called Argus Cybersecurity, another company that was acquired by Continental, the giant Continental. You probably know them for $450 million. They just started to build a sales organization there. And the sales was they sold software to OEM car manufacturers. Mm. Huge enterprises, long sales cycle, most are based in America. Obviously, I was new back then. I learned a lot, but I felt that it's a bit slow to me, like the pace. I need something faster. Yeah.
Well, you come stronger. From a startup, right?
Exactly. And it, right. So it feels like a little bit vesting piece in this company. I don't know if you're familiar with this term. Everyone is waiting for the vesting post-acquisition. But Sisense. I never thought about Sisense. I had another offer in a different company. Then someone was connected with on LinkedIn. She told me, listen, my manager is looking for an account executive for 4 months, 5 months. She can find someone. Maybe it would be a good fit. I met her 4 days after I started to work, being the first account executive in the international region that is doing purely outbound, meaning not getting in any leads from the system. So I need to generate my own pipeline and close that. The first years
The transition from sales director to account executive. Was that mentally hard for you? Was it, okay, let's do this. Why not? And let's give it a go. What was that like for you to make that choice? Because it sounds like two very different roles, right?
So that's tricky. In cybersecurity organizations, sales director is an account executive. I was managed no one as a sales director. Okay, it's the same as being a frontline sales rep.
Okay.
But the title is different. Now, as a director, it's definitely different than being an account executive. But that's a good question because I've been with,
All right, so you joined Sisense. Happy with the move early on?
Yeah, for them it was like, who's this guy coming from Rafael, never done sales before? I remember, actually, that's one of my secrets, but when they asked me about quota, what was your quota? I was like, what is quota? That's how I started in sales. And I put everything I had into that. You know, I needed to be successful. I was so hungry back then, so hungry, with few loans outside after closing my second company. And again, I was happy. My life was good, but I knew that I'm going to win here. There is no other option. So I ended up being one of the leading reps, you know, president club, and I put everything into that. And later on was promoted and just enjoy the ride. I'm working with brilliant people.
You know, when I worked at Xerox, there used to be an unwritten kind of expectation or rule that, you know, you put a couple of years in being a sales representative. And then if you do well there, you then have the opportunity to transition into sales manager. If you do well there, then you can look at sales director. Was that the same as Sisense? Did you do very well as an account executive? And then they said, okay, we want you to be a manager. Or did you say, no, I want to be a manager? How did that transition happen?
That's an interesting question. So, you know, the first rule of being promoted, first you need to want it before everything. If you don't want it, you need to want it, and you need to be very clear about it and also be very proactive about your success and growth within the company. But the most important thing is to be truly exceptional in your current role. And that was my mission. Like I said, I must be number one here. I also need to clearly communicate my goals to my management. And I did it when the time was right. Like after delivering, they saw that I can deliver, that I can close business, that I can lead complex sales cycle. By the way, I don't know if you noticed but my technical background in professional sales B2B software was a key competitive advantage I had. I could run the sales cycle by myself in most cases. I could have in-depth conversations with the CTO, head of architecture, and so forth. I'm not afraid to type code. We can speak about performance. We can speak about whatever you want. We can go math deep. like with mathematics if needed. And I use those models, I use those techniques to leverage and to create stronger bonding with my prospects. And they appreciate that. It was like, okay, that's the guy I want to buy from. He knows what he's speaking about. So I learned the domain, being a BI expert, to communicate clearly. I was very curious to hear their problems, but I also had the technical knowledge to speak higher level. Of course, I involved the engineers when needed.
You know, I'm reading your LinkedIn profile as we're talking here, and I see that you're at SciSense for coming up just over 2 years now, almost 2.5 years. And so there's one thing that I read here in your current title. You lead a diversified team, 40% women, and aiming to balance that shortly. So talk to me about your intention, making sure that you have balance on your team.
Those power women in sales are the best thing that can happen. I was so lucky to work with, I am so lucky to work with such a strong and brilliant woman, because they bring something so unique to the table. I'm a huge believer in diversity. I think it's important for the success of the organization. And it's also important for the team. In what I've seen so far, like a strong saleswoman can create stronger relationship. They have this like natural talent of building those relationships by being more empathic, being a better listeners, sometimes even being more strategic. And I learned a lot from the woman on my team. And that's, yeah, I communicated that as well. I want to balance that as much as possible. And it's really really hard to find them, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. It's because they don't leave. Well, when a company has them, they know their top talent. So it's, they do everything they can to keep them, because I agree with you. I think that more women should be in sales because they bring such a different dynamic to it. I've had the privilege of training and working with so many, and I think there should be more, because they just bring a different level that, in some cases, guys just don't bring.
Sure thing.
So Ophir, I want to talk to you about 2020. All right. Yeah. I'm curious about something here. So I know what life has been like here in North America this year, and I'm not tone deaf to the fact that the whole world is going through what we're going through right now with the pandemic and et cetera, et cetera. But what has it been like for you, both personally inside of Israel, but then also I imagine that your team and your business may have been impacted this year because of the regions that you cover. And so how have you managed? Here we are closing out October. It's been choppy waters really since the middle of March or so for most of us in the world. And so how has SciSense handled it? How have you managed it? How has 2020 been overall for you?
I love that question. I will start by saying that obviously 2020 will always be remembered, but not because of COVID, but because of the things that we learned about ourselves and our abilities to adapt, extend, and thrive. Okay, from the very basic stuff that I learned that gym is not required in order to stay in shape. Discipline, however, is. And kids, you know, kids are superchargers. They throw so much love on you, and they adapt faster, way faster than what we think. I will speak about business performance in a second and all the adaptation that we've done there. But even we learned, I learned as an individual about my consumer behavior. You know, we spend less money. We see that we can do more stuff at home together with our friends and suppose and kids. Now, organizations that didn't realize that everything has changed, that the rule has changed, are now struggling. And I speak with many of those. Those who realize that the new method of selling has changed and did the corrections accordingly are now succeeding. We responded immediately. So I will start by saying that 2020 so far, it's been a great year in terms of performance. And I know that's hard to say. Lots of people lost their work.
Yeah, no, I get it.
And it's really hard for me to speak about it. But we do have a great year. In terms of performance, we just overachieved our target. That's our team target. Three out of three people in my team are overachieving. And now, you know, in Shark Plan and plan, similar plans like that, we are, in terms of tactics, some of the things we change, we are selling with more empathy. That's for sure. And we're speaking less about the obvious stuff. You know, the conversations today, especially after so many hours on Zoom, you don't speak about COVID. You less speak about the weather. You go straight to business. You respect people's time. Although they have more time, they're even more available to pick up the phone when you do cold call.
Yeah.
But you really need to respect your time and understand where are they coming from.
Cool. Well, listen, I'm so glad to hear that, that it sounds like, you know, on a business front, SciSense was in a spot where I get what you're saying. It's tough to talk about that it's been positive when you know that so many in the world have been negatively affected by this. I have the same position that you have, and that is, I believe in the end, the history books will look upon 2020 as a good year for the world because change will come of this. Right now, for most of us, while we're knee deep into this, we don't really think it's that great because we're trying to battle through this, and a lot of circles are really struggling. But I have a belief that says in the end, it'll be considered positive. The way we're engaging with each other, the world's getting cleaned up a little bit, how we're interacting, and just our overall outlook on what's important, what isn't, and companies are just kind of shifting. And so I'm glad to hear that for the most part, you're coming through this fairly well, both professionally as well as personally.
Yes.
And I really enjoyed speaking with you. The last question I have for you here, Ophir, is I always like to ask anybody who's a guest on the podcast, if there was one piece of feedback or advice or something that has maybe worked for you thus far in your career, for anybody listening, anything that you might want to add or that you want to share.
Happy to. So there is actually one topic that people not tend to speak about, but is very important to a lot of professionals out there. And is, you know, when you want to get promoted, when you want to grow within the organization, how to do it quick. I've been with SciSense, as you said, a little bit more than 2 years and was promoted twice already, on the right track, let's say. I've been very proactive with my career. I put a plan for everything. And this plan is very detailed, trying to be very real with myself, knowing what are the gaps, what are the things that I need to learn, investing all of my free time in development. Even if I need to pay to coaching, I'm working with coaches and mentors, taking webinars, taking courses. As you know, I'm familiar with several sales methodologies that are paid in order to learn and do. So be, when you're obsessed, it's really hard to lose. When you're obsessed with your success, it's really, really hard to lose. I've been obsessed with that, and I communicate that very clearly to my management, my intention. Then they see that I put a plan and I can execute the plan. They don't need to put a plan for me. I'm not waiting. I'm very proactive with my career. So that's my tip to you. If you have ambitious career goals, just put a plan, written plan, detailed plan, tough plan, and be accountable to everything that is going on. If you're losing, it's your responsibility. If you're succeeding, it's yours as well. Share your success with your team, with others around you, because you can get the maximum value from the people that are surrounding you. You know, I'm learning a lot from my team. For my team, my direct reports, I'm learning from them on a daily basis. So that's my tip to the world. Like,
I love it, man. Be obsessed. I love it.
Be obsessed.
I love it. Well, Ophir, listen, it's been a real pleasure speaking to you, getting to know you here. Thanks so much for being on. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you, Paul. It was great to be here.
You're very welcome. All right, everybody, let's wrap another episode up right now. Remember, your intention matters. Why? Because that's the result we'll tend to get. We're out of here. We're online at sellingisimple.com. Thanks for being here. We'll do it again next week, and be safe, everybody. All right.